Who's a good fisherman here?
No.
I grew up most of my life in the suburbs, so I don't know much about fishing, and I don't even watch the shows on Seven Mate or hang around with fishermen. But all I do know is about fishing is I do like mine fried with chips, with a bit of salad or a bit of homemade coleslaw. That's what I know about fish. However, I do know a fishing story is supposed to be flattering to the fishermen. Is that right, Emily?
Yes.
Yeah. And I do know that fishermen are supposed to talk about the monster fish that they hooked but got away.
Yeah.
Or they're supposed to talk about the bait that they used to make the fish jump onto their hook. But here before us in Luke chapter 5, we have a different kind of fishing story. This story is about fishermen coming up empty after fishing all night. It's about a carpenter who commandeers a boat, preaches a sermon, and then tells the fishermen where the fish are. After hundreds of kilos of fish are finally caught, the fisherman named Simon immediately resigns from fishing and starts fishing for people. And so this is a very different kind of fishing story. If there's anything to learn from this story, it's why some people don't catch fish. Some people don't catch fish because they refuse to go into deep water. Jesus told Simon in verse 4, put out into deep water. In other words, let's leave the shore and go into the deep. Now, everybody knows that schools of big fish are in deeper water. And the first rule of fishing, I'm told, if you've got to go where the fish are. That's the first rule of fishing. Go where the fish are. Now, we know Jesus always used practical events to teach spiritual truths. So we shouldn't limit this story only to fish and fishing. So what's the spiritual principle that Jesus wants us to know? What's the spiritual principle Jesus wants to have us live out from this story? Now, we could substitute fish for abundance, the abundance of wisdom or love, the abundance of healing or peace, because we want all these things in abundance. However, some people don't catch these things because they simply refuse to put out into deep water. Many people refuse to go into the deep. I'm going to tell you a story. Last time I told a story about my son, I got accused of child abuse, so let me see if I can get accused of child abuse again. My oldest son is named Drew. He's older, he's in his late 30s now. But Drew, when he was 7 years old, was being mocked at school because he didn't or couldn't or wouldn't swim the 25 metres to get his swim safety certificate. So all the kids in the class mocked him. And so I was like, okay, well, if I take you down the pool and teach you how to swim, we'll get... Because it's 25 metres across an Olympic pool and 50 metres length. So all you have to do is swim across the pool. So, okay, I'll take you down the pool and I'll give you some tips on how to swim. You just got to swim 25 metres to get your certificate, get all the other boys off your back. Okay, here we go. So we go down. And you know how you teach children to swim? You hold them on their chest and belly, you get them to kick and do the arm movement. And so we're getting there, and so I let him go, and all of a sudden his feet, legs drop down, and he's gripping on like Scooby-Doo with his toes on the bottom of the pool, pretending to swim. It's like, no, come back, Drew, come back. We'll do it again. And this kept going on and on. So I had an idea. This is the child abuse part. We'll go down the deep end. Well, you can't touch the bottom. No, Dad, no. Come on, go down the deep end. So we go down, and I look around. I chuck him in the pool. I jumped in and stopped him from coming to the edge. Swim. And he swam. And he got across the other. Went back to school that week. They went to the pool for swimming. He came back. Waving this, he came into the house waving his certificate. He got his 25 metres.
That'd be cool to be kind.
Thank you, Susan. You've just redeemed me. Deep water. I told that story just to tell you this. Deep water is where increase is. Deep water takes faith. Deep water is a risk. Deep water requires focus of mind and it requires focus of heart. And many times, when in deep water, you have to trust the words of those who are directing you. You have to trust the words and directions of others. Like a captain of a boat who has on multiple occasions passed through deep waters. We have to trust them. So Jesus is always inviting people into the deeper end of things. So those pictures that are up behind me, where are all the people mainly gathered? In the shallow end. Because the shallow end is pleasant, isn't it? It tickles our ankles as we walk in it. And if you're on the beach, the minnows and the half-grown fish gather in the shallow end, don't they? And you can see all the way to the bottom of the shallow water. Staying in the shallow water is such a temptation. Shallow water doesn't cost much. It doesn't take a whole lot of courage. But Simon knew that minnows couldn't feed him. They couldn't fill him up. Minnows weren't his heart's desire. They wouldn't pay the bills. They wouldn't feed his family. Deep water faith is where those things we say we want are swimming around. Psalm 42 verse 7 says, deep calls to deep. The shallow is where we begin the adventure. It is not where we finish the adventure. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. So there's a time for listening. There's a time to live what we've learned. There's a time to receive, but there's a time to give sacrificially. There's a time to worship the Lord in church, and there's a time to be church and to lead the world in the worship of the Lord. Because what is in the crumb is in the loaf. There's a time to worship in church, and there's a time to be church and to lead the worship of the Lord outside of church. Deep water is where we have to go to get what God has for us. Psalm 42 verse 7 says, deep calls to deep. Some people don't catch fish because they don't expect to catch fish. When Jesus tells Simon Peter, put out into the deep water, he doesn't stop there. Jesus also says, let down your nets for a catch. In other words, let's go into the deep water and prepare for a catch. This should be a word of encouragement. This should be a word for us who go to church regularly, week after week. We go to deep water to worship in those deep, deep waters. But do we go prepared for a catch? Do we go believing that a blessing is just waiting for us? Or do we go to church to appease a spouse or to be seen by others, or worse, to go to church just out of dumb habit? Expectations count with God. Expectations count with God. It's all over the Bible, all throughout the Bible. Expectation is the firstborn child of faith. Expectation is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Where there is no expectation, there is no real faith. When we say we believe in God, we are not saying, I am agreeing with some abstract idea. We are not saying, I agree with some theology or I agree with some ideology. We're saying we expect the things that God has promised us. We're saying that I am a partner, that I am a co-worker with the giver of every good gift. And among those gifts, God has promised us fruitfulness. I like how Jesus keeps pushing Simon's boundaries. Leave the shore, Simon. Go into the deep, Simon. These are easy boundaries to push in comparison to expect a blessing, Simon. Jesus is calling Simon to risk disappointment in God. I heard a story once of an old Methodist preacher who every time he preached, someone would give their life to Jesus. But there was a young assistant who would preach, and no one would come forward and give their life to Jesus. And after a year of this, the young minister went up to him for some clarity and some coaching. And the wise old minister asked this young protege, "When you preach, what do you expect to happen?" And she thought about it and said, "I expect to tell the good news. I expect to be eloquent and to edify people." He said, "You're doing all those things. But when I preach, I expect to win people to Jesus Christ, and that's all." When we come expecting and preparing to be blessed, it must make God's heart smile in some wide and extraordinary way. God probably says to himself, "They get it. To them, I am the giver of every good gift. I am the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Some people don't catch fish because they don't go into deep water. Some people don't catch fish because they don't expect to. But here's the tragedy. Some people don't catch fish because they think they know more about fish than God. In verse 5, Simon almost makes that mistake. He tells Jesus in a very irritated tone, "We have worked all night. We have worked all night long, but we have caught nothing." In other words, hey, we've been fishing all night. We know fish. The fish don't run during the day. And by the way, you're a carpenter moonlighting as a preacher, so leave me alone. Some people think they know more about fish than God. It happens to all of us sometimes. It's not that we actually think we know more than God. It's just that we behave that way. We hear God's instruction, forgive, turn the other cheek, bless those who curse you, give abundantly, visit the sick and visit those in jail if you can. Forget your life and you'll live the best life you can. Remember the Sabbath. It's for worship and for family, not for sleeping in and shopping down at Woodgrove. But we ignore God's invitation to abundance. And we say to God, by our actions, "I know more about marriage, I know more about healing, I know more about forgiveness, I know more about children, and I know more about money than you do, God." By our actions. Simon, for a split second, almost forgot that God is God. Modern culture doesn't really have any use for the word humility today. And this issue goes way back to the age of entitlement, when Western culture told itself that it could know everything. The age of entitlement spanned from the 17th century through into the 18th century. It sparked the American and French revolutions. It initiated separation from church and state. It relegated Christianity to a moral order. And there was only one law and one order, and that was natural law and natural order. And mankind could have and should know everything and know all things. And at that point, Western culture jettisoned the God of the Bible. And now the spiral is coming around again. And our information highway is repeating the absurdity of that all over again. Simon is at that crucial intersection that we all come to over and over again in our life. He decided that he didn't know everything. He decided that this present emptiness and frustration had made him ready to learn. Now there's a good definition of humanity there, right there. A readiness to learn. People say that the net full of fish is the miracle of this story, but I disagree with that. The real miracle of this story is that Simon decided that God was God and that he would live life that way, beginning immediately. Just look what Simon says in verse 5 before the miracle had happened. He said, "Yet Jesus, if you say so." Yet Jesus, if you say so. In other words, my frustration is real, Lord. My pain is real. My emptiness is real. My despair is real. It's all real. And yet, you are God and I am not. Yet, Jesus, if you say so. And that's when our miracle will begin to happen. That's when we will start to catch fish. The moment we decide that God is God and we are not. The moment when our lips and our lives agree that God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. Simon's full net is just a byproduct of that revelation this morning. What a freedom Simon got that day, that God is the maker of heaven and earth. God alone put the sword on the swordfish. He put the sail on the sailfish. He put the beak into whale. He put the play into dolphin. And he alone put electricity or the electric into eel. And if he's God enough to do all of that, what can he do with you and me this morning when we're ready to catch fish? Let's pray together. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty and the abundance of life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.